Hello everyone, this is Crystal from the Spooky Barber Babes. If you are new here, hi, welcome. If you are returning, welcome back. If you are new here and you do not know, my name is Crystal. I am the main host and I talk about true crime, conspiracy theories of all sorts. Seems like everyone has a favorite cartoon conspiracy. And sometimes I talk about ghost stuff as well. I say a lot. But for the most part, I talk about true crime. As most of you know, I have been following the Doomsday Couple case very intently since the children have gone missing. I did a four-part episodes on the background history and everything involving this case. I still have some issues with it because, like I said, cases that deal with children, especially to the degree that this case went, hits my soul very, very hard. But as most of you know, Lori Vallow Daybell is currently on trial. And as of this morning, her oldest son, pretty sure the only child she has left, Colby Ryan, took the stand, and basically the prosecutors played a phone call that had not been released to the public until today, April 18th, and it's really sad. You can hear the anger, the frustration, and just everything, sadness, the disbelief in what his mother had done. And I listened to it and it broke my heart even more. This phone call happened while Lori was incarcerated at the Madison County Jail after the remains of his siblings were found buried on Chad Daybell's property. Now, I do want to give everyone a warning. This audio is coming directly off of eastidahonews.com. I do not have eyes on like what's making the noise, who's doing the clicking, the sniffling. I don't know. It is not me. It is part of the audio recording. Like I said, I don't know if it's somebody in the courtroom or if it was on the the call itself. I do want to preface that when you listen to it, that all the extra excess noise I can't diminish because it's not my original audio. It is, again, coming from eastidahonews.com. Now, with that said, most people don't know that, or you may know if you're following the case, that there haven't really been cameras allowed. I haven't found much footage on anything. I'm still scouring, but this is a little bit of an update just so you can kind of get a feel of where we're at so far. So I'm actually going to play this here. This clip runs a little over 12 minutes. So here we go.
Something that catches when you weren't there and you don't know what. dresses.
Mark, you've been shoving BS on my throat for a very long time. I'm going to talk to you. Okay, listen to me. I'm not mad. Listen to me. I sat there and prayed. I can tell you my pain that I have felt from your decisions in Jesus Christ's name. It kills me to watch you sit there and tell me this is a trial. It kills me to watch you take the big picture out and say that this shouldn't have happened to you. When you are telling me that Chad Daniel came into your life, and all of a sudden, everything changes. I'm talking about my spirit feels. I trusted you. I gave you every chance I could pass my limitations as a human being. I pushed past all of everything to try to get to you to help my own mother. You lied to me, specifically to me, more times than I can count.
Only people that do. So you can judge me, Colby.
Embrace the thing that has ever happened to this world. And I pray that you see him and fall into his grace. I pray every day. I pray no matter how mad I am at you, no matter how bad I want to hit your husband in the face with a shovel, I pray for you. I pray for him. You've ripped my heart out. You've ripped out everyone in the family's heart out. I'm going to be in Idaho this week. You know, look me in my eye, Mom. Look me in my eye.
I hope everyone made it through that. So for those of you that do not know, Lori Vallow Bell was known as the Doomsday Mom. Basically, she had extreme religious beliefs along with her new husband, Chad Daybell. And this is, again, if you already know the case, you already know a majority of the recap that I am giving, but this is just a recap for those who are just now listening. She is currently on trial for killing two of her children, 16-year-old Tylee Ryan and 7-year-old Joshua Jackson, JJ Vallow, and Tammy Daybell, the former wife of her husband, Chad Daybell. Now, Chad is scheduled to be tried separately for the same exact crimes later on this year. Still waiting on a date for that. As of right now, Lori is also charged with conspiracy to commit murder in the July 11th, 2019 fatal shooting of her previous husband, Charles Vallow, in Arizona. Even though, if you listened to one of the episodes at the beginning of when I first did the podcast, you would know that it was actually her brother Alex that shot Charles Vallow, but it's looking like she had a helping hand in that. Now, opening statements did begin on April 10th, 2023, and each day's statements basically, like, the testimony has provided shocking details about the children's killings, their remains, Lori and Chad's claim that she was a goddess and that he was a prophet, and basically a vast, like, craziness, like this huge web of lies and death and deceit that just kind of followed them. Fremont County, Idaho prosecutor Lindsay Blake had told jurors that at the core of this case was three things: money, power, and sex. And that Lori and Chad used their fantasism to justify their greed and desire to marry each other. And basically getting rid of their then spouses and Lori's youngest children after claiming they were possessed by demons that needed to be cast out. In addition to killing, like, to the three killings for which Lori is currently being prosecuted for, two other men close to Lori died in 2019, and a third relative survived an alleged attempt to fatally shoot him. So there might be possibilities going on with that. Now, the judge has, like I've already stated, refused any requests to live stream the trial, but there has been recorded audio that has been released publicly at the end of each day. I'm personally not going to get all the audio. I may. I don't know. I'm sitting through it is a lot for me, but I will do my best. And if I do end up getting it, it will not be here on the podcast. You'll have to either go to our TikTok page or YouTube, and I will just kind of upload everything onto there. Now, just kind of giving like a big recap, because it's been a bit that, well, not even a recap, but the children were found on June 9th, 2020, on the property of Chad Daybell, and they were basically buried in the backyard. Now, it's a lot for me to talk about these cases because they're so, like, holy crap. But I, like I said, I've been following this case since the kids went missing. I was one of those hopefuls that hoped to God that they found those kids safe and that they were maybe taken by another family member. But anyways, sadly, that was not the case. Now, I'm going to do a update basically on where we're at with the trials, the testimony, and all that fun stuff. So sit back. This is going to be a wild ass ride. Now, Rexburg, Idaho Police Detective Ray Hermosillo, hopefully I'm pronouncing that name right, provided the most emotional and graphic testimony on April 11th when he described finding the remains of JJ and Tylee on Daybell's Idaho property on June 9th, 2020, after a months-long nationwide search. Gruesome photos of their remains were shown and discussed in court, which I'm pretty sure that's probably a reason why the judge refused to do the live stream, which, thank you, I appreciate that. JJ's grandfather, Larry Woodcock, was, you know, openly sobbing, while Lori, who was usually animated and cheerful, had slumped in her chair with her arms crossed and her head down, never looking at the photos. And police had discovered JJ's body first. He was buried near a pond beneath soil, rocks, and wood paneling. As soon as they removed the topsoil, Rex had said, "There was a strong odor that through my training, I knew was a decomposing body. The body was wrapped in black plastic, and the detective could see the crown of JJ's head." Tylee's remains were found elsewhere on the property in a pet cemetery near a fire pit. Unlike JJ's body, which was mostly intact, Officer Rex said that at the second burial site, they first found only clumps of rotting flesh, charred flesh, a piece of broken charred bone sticking up through the dirt, and bone fragments in the soil. He testified that they also found a melted green bucket containing other remains, including organs. Underneath the melted bucket, they found the partial remains of a human skull, as well as a jawbone and teeth. The smell of decomposition was so foul, Officer Rex said, that the investigators who were digging on their hands and knees had to take turns in painstakingly removing the remains and placing them on a tarp. Well, there is a photo, not of the remains, but of them basically removing Tylee's body from the ground. Now, Chad was home when the police served the search warrant for his property, but then relocated to his daughter's place just catty corner from his house. When JJ's remains were removed from his gravesite, however, Chad took off at a high rate of speed. Police, however, caught up with him and took him into custody. Chad has remained behind bars ever since, awaiting his own trial, which I've already stated. He's looking at the same charges for the killing of his previous wife, Tammy Daybell, and his two stepchildren. Investigators finished excavating the burial site on June 10th, and on June 11th, they met at the Ada County Coroner's Office in Boise to witness the autopsies of the children's remains performed by medical examiner Garth Warren. Under a duct tape black plastic bag, they saw JJ wearing red pajamas and white socks. A smaller white plastic bag was wrapped around his head and sealed with more layers of duct tape, and even more tape directly covered his mouth from jawline to jawline. More duct tape was used to bind his wrists, arms, and feet, and he had visible bruising on his arms. A white and blue child's blanket was placed on top of him, despite the decomposition and duct tape. Officer Rex said JJ was still easily identifiable based on his hair and features as the little boy we had been looking for the past 8 months. Zulima Pastinas, Lori's sister-in-law, later testified that Lori and Chad believe that there is a 2-minute window after a demon has been cast out in which another can enter, but that this can be prevented by destroying the body through fire or water or binding it. Officer Rex also testified about photos depicting the last evidence of proof of life for JJ and Tylee. Tylee's was on September 8th, 2019 in Yellowstone National Park, and JJ's was on September 22nd, 2019, wearing red pajamas on a couch at Lori's Rexburg apartment. Lori had recently relocated to Rexburg to be closer to Chad. It was that night that Melanie Gibb testified that she and her boyfriend David Warwick last saw JJ, and that the couple were staying at Lori's and saw Lori's brother Alex Cox take his nephew up to bed. Gibb and Warwick left the next day. Now, sorry, this is... Anyways, yet another alleged act of violence within this circle led Officer Rex's involvement in the case. He was tracking a Jeep that Arizona authorities alleged was involved in the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau, the ex-husband of Lori's niece, Melanie Boudreau. Brandon testified April 10th that his marriage crumbled after Melanie became fervently religious and once spent $10,000 to store food for an impending apocalypse. Amid complicated custody arrangements with his children, someone driving a Jeep shot at him on October 2nd, 2019. Police later confirmed that the Jeep was registered to Charles Vallo, who, by that time, had been fatally shot by Alex Cox, who claimed it to be self-defense, on July 11th, 2019. On October 9th, exactly a week after someone had shot at Brandon in Arizona, a masked man fired several shots at Tammy Daybell in Rexburg, Idaho, but she was unhurt. Pastinus, Alex's wife, testified on Friday that the same day someone shot at Tammy, Chad was with the Pastinas, Lori, Milani, and others, but not Alex, performing a casting ceremony to banish the evil spirit inhabiting Tammy's body. Pastina testified that Lori answered a phone call that made her scary mad and afterwards told her that that idiot can't do anything right on his own. Tammy died 10 days later on October 19th. On November 5th, Chad and Lori got married on a beach on the Hawaiian island of Kauai. Now, at the time, authorities accepted Chad's account that Tammy, an active 49-year-old mother of five, had died naturally in her sleep. Prosecutors revealed in their opening arguments last week that an autopsy performed after her body was exhumed had determined her cause of death to be asphyxiation at the hands of another. Chandler, Arizona Police Detective Nathan Duncan testified on April 14th about a number of emails and messages Charles exchanged in the weeks leading up to his death, threatening to tell Tammy about Chad's affair with Lori and condemning their dangerous religious beliefs. In one email, he had told Lori that he wanted full custody of their son, JJ, saying, "I will not let him be a part of your apostasies." Duncan testified that on the morning of July 11th, the day Alex fatally shot him, Charles exchanged text messages with Adam Cox, Lori and Alex's other brother. Adam has said he did not subscribe to Lori's crazy beliefs. The text came in as, "Alice here," Charles texted Adam, referring to Alex being at Lori's house where he was picking up JJ. "They are planning something," Adam responded, and Charles said, "Absolutely." Their messages were exchanged between 7:35 and 7:37 a.m. Alex shot Charles at around 7:49 a.m., but didn't call 911 until 8:32. In Lori's indictment for, that's what police had said in Lori's indictment to conspiracy to killing Charles. And this is where things get really freaking creepy. Lori's friends, Gibb and Pastinus, testified about prayer-like castings used to cast out evil spirits from someone they considered to be, quote, dark or a zombie. Lori had told her that she and Chad had been chosen to lead the 144,000 faithful when Christ returned in the second coming, Gibb said. Both Gibb and Pastinus testified that their group had performed castings on Charles, but Pastinus told the court that if those didn't work, Lori had joked to her that she could always put some pills in his water. Gibbs testified that among the numerous people Lori classified as dark were Tylee, JJ, JJ's grandmother, Kay Woodcock, Tammy, Lori's dad, her other brother Adam, Brandon Boudreau, and the police. Pastinus testified that she was surprised by her husband Alex's equanimity after shooting Charles. When she asked how he felt, he simply responded, "Zulema, he was a zombie." Jurors heard a strange recorded call Chad made to a mortuary on the night of Charles's death, in which he says he is looking to cremate his uncle, asks for a ballpark price to ship the cremains out of Arizona, and uses a different spelling for his last name instead of spelling it Daybell, D-A-Y-B-A-L, B-E-L-L. He uses Dayball, D-A-B-A-L, first saying his name is Chad, then subsequently John. Prosecutors then also played a recording of Chad blessing Alex on November 24th, 2019, about 2 weeks before Alex's death. I bless you with the knowledge that you will now move forward as a true warrior, not only through physical action, but through spiritual power that will be bestowed upon you. Lori can be heard on the recording as well, and the trio seem to be crying during the blessing. The day after learning that Tammy's body was going to be exhumed, Alex died in Gilbert, Arizona at the age of 51. Although his death on December 12th was attributed to natural causes, the timing was remarkable. His wife testified that after refusing to answer her question about whether he had anything to do with Tammy's death, his last words were, "I think I'm being their fall guy. Either I'm a man of God or I'm not." And as of right now, that's kind of where we're at. And I have a feeling that, and I've said it before, but who makes a better fall guy than a dead guy? And I hate to say it that way, but I really do feel like they're going to try to pass this off as though it was all Alex's idea and that Alex did it all. And I really hope that's not the case, but I feel like that might be the case. And if it is, I really hope they don't get off easy. Like, I really don't, because this is utterly ridiculous. But as of right now, this is where I leave you for this evening, day, wherever, however you're listening. And I, like I said, I will be keeping up with further information when it comes to this case and where we see it going from here, because I'm invested. I have been invested since day one, since the kids were announced that they were missing. And I've been full throttled into looking up this woman's entire life for the past 2 years. Finally glad to see that she has mentally been, cleared to take care of, you know, being in trial. But we'll see. We will see what happens after today's proceedings. I know there's probably going to be more tomorrow. I don't know exactly how long this case is going to last. But yeah, there will be more updates. So as for now, try to have a great day. Keep positive energy all around you. And as always, stay spooky. Bye.